Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master. And we just bless your holy name tonight. We come before you with thanksgiving and praise. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness in every area where we've blown it. Every area, Lord. Things that we've said, thought, did. Reactions, works of the flesh. Unfulfilled vows. Vows we shouldn't even have made. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, we forgive everyone that's hurt us and used us, spoke against us. We bless them and forgive them. Commit them into your hands. Lord, please search us through and wash us with the blood. The blood of the Lamb. Wash our spirit, soul, and body, and members and memories. Our conscience, our eyes, ears, and heart. As we call forth our heart back from the north, south, east, and west to come now back to us. Our heart, everyone we've shared our heart with right now to come back right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we take our heart and we give it to you now. Lord, we give you our heart that the heart of Christ will be manifested in us. And you take our heart, Lord. Take it. As we welcome the Holy Spirit to come in here. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, take your rightful place here. Come, bring us to the throne room of our daddy. Come, and let the anointing and the power of your Spirit break every yoke of bondage. Come, Holy Spirit. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our heart to receive what you say. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. And we ask, Lord, that you empty us. Empty us tonight. Jesus. You said, call me and you would answer us and show us great and mighty things. You are he who does exceedingly abundantly, far above all we could ever ask or think. And we call on you tonight. Come teach us, train us, show us. As we commit to you all things, we surrender. Come. Now rebuke every sickness, disease, infirmity in this house. I come against every spirit of doubt, fear, and unbelief. I command every spirit of addiction, perversion, hoardism, lying spirits. Every spirit of antichrist, divination, and familiar spirit to loose the people of God in this house in any way. Self-righteous spirits, you go right now. Pride and arrogance and haughtiness, you go right now from the people of God. Spirit of immaturity, you go right now from the people of God. And go to the pit and not return, and I put the blood between us. And I send the word of the Lord to each and every one that by the stripes of Jesus we be made whole. Lift your hands to heaven. Tell him, I surrender, Lord. Not my will, but your will. Establish me. Perfect me. Sanctify me. Position me. To where it's no longer I that live, but you that live. Grant me the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, discernment, strength, and boldness. That I may be about my Father's business, being consistent in all things according to your will, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven and ask for another drink. Don't leave here sober, please. Everybody gets drunk. Just tell the Lord, Lord, fill me, kill me, and get me drunk. Nothing worse than a sober Christian. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and in his presence is fullness of joy. Right? Amen. So if you're not joyful, it means that you're not really getting in God's presence. It means you're nothing but stinky religion. And we've had enough of stinky religion. You know what one of the first manifestations is? Fear. Fear. Besides pride, besides rebellion, besides arrogance and all the other stuff. You know, we must be so thirsty and hungry for the presence of God that nothing else matters. Because the devil will try to put anything between you and God. It's called an idol. Your job, your children, your family, your spouses. All those things can be idols. Sometimes we begin to fight for the wrong thing. You know, the Holy Spirit has really been bringing us through a lot of things here. And one of the things he was talking about was woo, window of opportunity, right? We had a lot of woo, woo. And in this, he showed us how to create windows of opportunity and so forth. And then he showed us how to maintain windows of opportunity, right? And we have a teaching, a series here. One of these. Windows of Opportunity. And I encourage you to get it. It's got Protecting Your Vision, Windows of Opportunity, Faithful Eyes, and Maintaining Open Windows. We got a few other ones out that are new now. It's called Markings of Christ. These are four-pack series. The Final Journey. The Original Man. This Generation. Holding Fast to the New. These are all series that the Lord has been giving us. And one of the things that he's been sharing with me in the area of, you know, stepping in or grabbing hold of a false opportunity. And that's what we want to talk about, false opportunities. Because remember, Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. And, you know, one of the things that you'll realize is when you grab something that's an opportunity and fear comes, it's because you've grabbed something that's not of God. Now, also, the enemy will try to bring fear so you don't grab it. Are you listening? So, you know, we know that the economy and all kinds of things is happening right now in this country. In fact, this country is in fear. Most people don't even know if they're going to be holding their jobs. But if you're in divine order with God, if you're in divine order, I'm telling you, divine order, you have nothing to worry about. God will make a way for you, and He'll make a way of escape for you. He will open windows of opportunity if you're in divine order. So in this, there are areas, and when we talked about windows of opportunity, there was certain things that He shared with us to do and to maintain these windows opening. But tonight I want to really talk about the area of false opportunities. Because so many times the enemy likes to come to us with a false or deceptive or even an imitation of a good opportunity. And we find out later that it wasn't God. And we struggle and we fight and we try to recover and we spend more time. And one of the things that the enemy tries to do in this is when he begins to bring us to an area where it's a false opportunity or a deceptive opportunity, one of the things he tries to do is snare us so that it prevents or delays us from bringing us to the true opportunity that God has for us. See, that's why some people, when people are snared by fear, they'll grab anything good instead of wait for perfect. Those are false opportunities. See, the next thing we know is we're spending more time on this good opportunity and the perfect opportunity just went by. And right now in this country, there's all kinds of, let me tell you, they're talking about releasing $7 billion to do a bailout, but the new government that's coming is talking $7 trillion to impart and do all kinds of stuff. I think they ought to just split it with everybody. I mean, you know, why don't they just send everybody a check? Everybody split the $7 trillion and I'm sure we can get along fine. You know, but see, what's happening more and more is people are becoming more dependent on the government. Government jobs, government this, government that. See, it is bringing people under control. But we come from another government, an eternal government, that holds all the keys of everything. Everything, no matter what it is. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through stuff. It doesn't mean that you won't go through testing, training, dying. It doesn't mean that you won't be challenged, you won't be tempted, and you won't be tried. But it means that you're going to come out like gold. That's what it means. Does everybody understand that? So you can't be sucked up and caught up in your circumstances and be led astray or be deceived by false opportunities. There's an area where you must learn how to and maintain not only the fear of God. Because see, if you keep the fear of God in your life, three things will be established because you'll be consistent in the things God has given you. And if you're consistent, three things will be established. You'll learn how to trust, you'll learn how to rest, and you'll learn how to wait. And if you can't establish those things in your life, you'll be like a turkey with his head cut off. And it won't be for Thanksgiving either. Would you grab your swords, please, and go to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. And verse 7. Galatians 5, 7. It says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the
truth.
This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? So was Paul in God's divine order? Amen. Was he suffering persecution? Hello. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the life of Christianity. It's persecution. You know, the Bible tells us that wicked way is wide and broad, but the righteous way is narrow and difficult. No one said it was going to be easy. Aren't you glad you know that now? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to what? Liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Now I want to share something with you because it's very important, because opportunities of the flesh are false opportunities. Are you listening? Opportunities of the flesh are false opportunities. Because we have freedom or liberty to choose, and we are free in Christ Jesus, aren't we? So we must keep from choosing false opportunities associated with flesh. One of the worst things that can happen to a believer is to be successful in the wrong assignment. Oh, Lord. It's a waste of time. It will not be counted to you, and it will burn as a reward. There won't be a reward on it. One of the worst things a believer can do is be successful in the wrong assignment. Hello? Does everybody understand? That's why certain things that we must be able to discern is whether this is a true opportunity, if it's an open window from the Lord, or if it's a false opportunity, if it's an open window from the devil. One thing God never does is interrupt himself, does he? Turn to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that what? In the latter times. Are we in the latter times? You betcha, man. We're in the latter times big time right now. We're in the latter days. We're not in the latter days. We're in the latter minutes. We're seeing things manifest before our eyes that things can happen any moment. We need to be on ready. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. In other words, they will be deceived. Falling from the faith doesn't mean that you don't believe Jesus. Falling from the faith means you fell from the will of God. Does everybody get it? In other words, you are not connected according to the will of God now. You're connected to your own will, but you're still calling on Jesus. Remember, a self-righteous spirit, which remember the Lord shared with us, is penetrating the body of Christ, is a spirit that causes an individual to worship the tree of life, but eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, even though they worship the tree of life. Remember, the Lord is exposing many things now. The Bible says that judgment is in the house of God. He's coming from a blemish-free church. And verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with what? Thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. Again, faith is the area where an individual falls from the will of God. Now, faith is also connected to the promises of God, isn't it? In other words, when you have a covenant with the Lord, it's connected to the other side. So if you're connected to the other side, you're going to be walking according to what God is saying, not according to what you're thinking. And too many people move by according to what they're thinking instead of what God is saying. Of course, some people keep saying, well, God told me this, God told me that, but it wasn't God at all. It was their desire that told them, and they chose to listen to it. But faith is connected to the promise of God in the spirit. Deceiving spirits are demons replacing the faith with false opportunities. Has everybody got it? Which is false hopes. Faith is the connection to the promises of God in the spirit. Deceiving spirits are demons replacing the faith with false opportunities, false promises, false hope. To cause you to come in agreement with these doctrines or the voice of the stranger. Does everybody understand that? Now remember something. Things are confirmed or sanctified by the word from God, the word of God in prayer. The word from God, the word of God in what? Prayer. Let's go to Galatians 6. Remember, you're not fighting flesh and blood, you're fighting powers of darkness. And right now, because of what is going on in this country, actually is going on globally. It's just not this country, it's going on globally. The enemy is going to take advantage of this. You think so? He's going to take advantage every way he can to snare people. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one what? Examine his own works, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. In other words, we must come to a place right now where we are constantly examining our works. We are constantly examining ourselves. We are constantly examining our motives. We are constantly examining our attitude. What is the outcome of what we're doing? Where are we at? In fact, we have a teaching call, Where Are You At? Right now, I'm telling you, it is important that we must all be starting to examine ourselves. Am I touching something unclean? What am I doing right now? I've got to examine myself, or you will be deceived. The Holy Spirit, we're in a new season. There's been a new shift in the Spirit now. If you're not willing to shift, you'll be left in the old, and you'll be tormented. Does everybody understand? God is moving. You either move with him, just like in the Old Testament. They moved with the cloud. They moved with the fire. What do you mean you'll be tormented? You'll be tormented in the area because you'll miss things of these opportunities as God's trying to do. Why? You'll be tormented because you'll be struggling. You'll get caught up in survival mode instead of blessing mode. So there must be a self-examination, making sure that these opportunities that are opening are not of flesh in yourself, because you're self-examining you by agreeing with your desire instead of the will of God. In other words, you're going to examine the work that's happening through you. You know, you're going to know your own fruit, aren't you? And one of the things you want to examine is how it's being done. In other words, the work that I'm doing, what I'm doing right now, am I doing it in the flesh, in the spirit, and according to godly ethics? Or am I survival mode? Am I running around like a chicken with my head cut off, or a turkey? Am I grabbing anything because I'm desperate? See, when you get desperate, every devil in hell shows up with an opportunity. Hi, I'm Mr. Opportunity. But if you're not in the spirit, you won't discern it. You'll take anything that comes along because you'll say, man, I need something because I ain't got nothing. Well, you're going to continue to be in that mode. You'll take it, take it, take it, take it, take it. You'll always have nothing, but always grab something and always end up with nothing. Because it's done by the flesh and not by the spirit. Is everybody okay? Go to 2 Corinthians 13. And how it is done matters, doesn't it? Because the Bible says, what you sow is what you reap. 2 Corinthians 13. So we want to examine our works, don't we? We want to examine whether we're in the flesh. And we need to examine whether we're in the faith. You got to check all angles. In verse 5, would you read it with me? Examine yourself as to whether you are what? In the faith. Test yourself. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. So there's an area where you must test yourself according to the faith. You test yourself according to the flesh. You examine yourself and you test yourself according to your works. And you examine and test yourself according to the faith. Does everybody understand it? Flesh, works, faith. Examine yourself if you are in the flesh, in the faith, not in the flesh. Because major false opportunities come when you're in the flesh and not in the spirit. See, the devil knows when you're in the flesh. He'll offer you something wonderful. He knows when you're desperate. I'm sharing this with you right now because many opportunities are going to come up. They're going to not be of God. Many. You know, sometimes people say, oh, it's too good to be true. No kidding. Majority of the time, it is too good to be true. You can sure check that out big time that it ain't God. It's too good to be true. Hello. But you got caught up because of the feelings or your desires of success, fame, and fortune. Anything that doesn't have to be worked out is a false opportunity. Are you listening? You know how many people try, they're dependent on the lottery. I'm going to win the lottery one day. Why? They're begging every Sunday. Because they're not willing to go to work. No working, no eating, right? And then when they win the lottery, they end up in jail. Or they're bankrupt or dead. There isn't too many people. In fact, I don't know anybody who's done it right yet with the lottery. But one day it will happen. Even salvation has to be worked out, doesn't it? The Bible says that we must work out our salvation with fear and what? Trembling. Go to Luke 4. Luke chapter 4. Verse 1 through 3. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to them, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Now, you know, it's amazing because Jesus came to a point where he was in need. He was hungry, right? And who shows up? Hello. One of the things the enemy's going to try to do is he's going to give you an opportunity to prove who you are. In other words, according to the flesh, not according to the spirit. Because one of the things he tempted Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God, what's he doing? Challenging him so he can prove who he is. See, so many times when we're in need, an opportunity to come up and you'll go, well, I can do that. Uh-oh. You can do that? Well, yeah, I can do that. There's no problem. I've learned all that. I've been doing this for years. Praise God. Better be careful. You're a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away. Now you can do all things through Christ Jesus, not according to your abilities. See, what did he do? He just challenged you to prove yourself. And we're supposed to come to the end of ourselves, aren't we? And we're supposed to deny ourselves. That's why the Bible says don't make any promises that you'll do this. Let's say if the Lord wills. And you know what happens then? You start boasting and you start throwing your pearls before swine. Then things get trampled. Go to verse 6. And the devil said to him, all this authority I'll give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give to whomever I wish. What was he challenging him? He was given an opportunity to what? be empowered with authority by wealth and dominion of carnality. He was giving them an opportunity. See, these are opportunities that the devil will try to bring to you. He'll try to cause you to prove yourself. Then he'll give you an opportunity to become wealthy. With power. He said the first thing he expressed was power. By wealth and authority and dominion. But he was using the power of wealth. Are you listening? Instead of the power of the Spirit. See, he always wants to put us in that. He wants to open these. These are false opportunities, aren't they? Now, I want you to understand it. Not only was Jesus tempted to sin, but he was tempted for false opportunities. See, you not only get tempted to sin, but you get tempted with false opportunities. What the enemy wants to do is bring you into covenant with something with him. With a false opportunity. And then we become ensnared and become his slave, not even knowing it. That's why people are still trying to work out their debts. Why? Because they became enslaved to debt, didn't they? Was that an open opportunity, a false opportunity? You betcha. You know, the enemy just on that fishing line, shoo, there's a little pile of cash. But it's really not a gift. It's here, I can lend it to you. See, the Bible tells us that the blessings of God, that we are won't be in need to borrow, but we're to be in an area of lending. Now, I'm not sharing that God doesn't sometimes tell you to go get a loan for a house or whatever, but it's got to be God. Obviously, we just saw about a gazillion houses not of God. A lot of mortgages not of God. Why? Because these were false opportunities for individuals that were deceived. They were deceived by their own country. They were deceived by the economic industry of this country. They were deceived with false opportunities and false promises. They were not guided correctly. They gave loans to individuals that could not even afford them. They gave them a false image in an area where here you just take this loan and just pay the interest 5 years now, 3 years now, 2 years now, then you have to pay the rest. They never even gave them the opportunity to see the future and what they were falling into. Just do it now. You'll be okay. So they enjoyed the house for a year and now they're on the street. And it brought a total collapse of the economic industry in this country. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because of false opportunities that were displayed by darkness, wickedness, and greed. Many got rich, but they're in jail. Not all of them, but some of them. And more will go. But see, they might have gotten out of the legal system, but they didn't get out of my daddy's system. Go to verse 9. Then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give angels charge over you and keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. This is where he begins to use the word of God out of selfish ambitions and manipulation as a false opportunity. Does everybody see this? This is where he begins to use the word of God out of selfish ambitions and manipulation. No false opportunities. Now listen. Go to verse 13. Let's go there first. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until a what? Opportune time. Hello. Remember, the devil will not only tempt you to sin, but he'll tempt you with false opportunities. He makes false promises, doesn't he? No false opportunities were established because Jesus was in the Spirit. In other words, the devil tried to get him to sin, and he tried to get him and give him an opportunity. But because he was in the Spirit, he was able to say no. He was able to say what? No. Again, the devil will not only tempt you with sin, but with false deceptive or counterfeit opportunities. false, deceptive, and counterfeit opportunities. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. It says simple, short teaching tonight. God willing. Wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 12, all things are what? Lawful for me, but all things are not what? Helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Do you get this? See, the enemy tries to bring you out, even though it seems like a good thing that, okay, man, it seems right. You know, what's the problem with this? And next thing you know, you're brought under the power of the enemy and enslaved. Did you ever take a job? You know, I know in the construction industry, it's an area where sometimes you take a job or whatever because you're in need, and you take it thinking, well, I'll just do this a little bit, and then I'll, you know, and then something else comes and you can't get to it, and you're enslaved with this little thing that's been nothing but a thorn in your flesh, and you can't get out of it because it was a false opportunity. Or even a job that you took. Well, you know what? I need to get this job. I need to purchase this. I need this now. I need this now. See, the enemy knows when you are in need, because he knows that you're in want. But the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So he's going to hit you in every area, not only tempt you with sin, but tempt you with a false opportunity. Does everybody get it? See, he knows when you're there. See, now it may look good. It may look like, man, this is great. But you know how many people see something to look good and it's the right opportunity, and they say, no, I know my experiences before. See, now they're relying on their past and experiences instead of what God is saying now. There's a difference. That's called flesh. That's also called fear. I'm telling you, the Lord is doing a new thing, isn't he? Windows of opportunity are opening, but the devil is coming with false opportunities also. False. So all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful, are they? It may seem right, but it's not right. That's why you must wait. You must search things out. Go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, I remember when computers started really coming into the system more. And I owned companies and so forth. And I was like, man, I ain't going to computers. I'm set just the way I am. Well, what an idiot I was. Of course, I wasn't with the Lord. Didn't pray or anything. I was just set in my ways and was willing to go with the new so I could learn more and get access to other things and so forth. And this was many years ago. Are you kidding? Now, I don't know how we'd operate without computers. It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, but think of how knowledge and technology has actually taken us over. Now all of your stuff is in computers and chips and all. You know, I mean, it's nice that you don't have to have 14 cabinets in your office. You know, or two houses filled with files. Maybe sunglasses and stuff. We got blessed with this. They called us and they wanted to bless us with prescription reading glasses and sunglasses. Well, you know, they usually come in like dozen packs, you know. Well, what do we get today? 240 boxes. How big? I mean, we got glasses overflow. I'm talking of a window of opportunity. See, there's a good fruit out of it, though, you can see. It brought sight. Hallelujah. Praise God, I have a pair in every room now. I won't have to search for the ones I just left. I can put two or three pair, even a dozen in every room. I don't care. Somebody hands me something. I said, man, where's my glasses? Man, my reading glasses. Oh, there's two on your pocket, one on your head. Oh, yeah, I got a pair. I'll never lack again. See, because I waited. I can see. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the latter days, in the last days, perilous times will come. We're in perilous times. And they're going to increase no matter what anybody says. Things are going to get tougher. For men will be lovers of themselves. Well, we're seeing it already. That's why greed got involved, didn't it? You know, the lovers of themselves is because they grabbed false opportunities. See, the devil comes with these false opportunities, especially with individuals that are associated with greed. And what he does is he uses them in his industry of wickedness. So he tries to draw the wealth, even of the righteous, to come into the house of the wicked. You know, we hear the scripture, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, but it ain't coming until the righteous get in line. You can say that scripture all day long, and it ain't coming to you until you are in divine order. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying its power, and such people turn away because they are associated with false opportunities. For this sort of those who creep into households and ministries and they make captives of gullible individuals and load them down with any various lusts, they're always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, Jannes and Jairus resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds. They're men of what? Corrupt minds. Disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be made manifest to all, as there's all also was. So you're seeing more and more of these companies that have been ripping off people. And I mean, even well-known companies right now that have been burning people. I had a guy call me. Now, before any of this happened, I had this guy call me that I used to be in business with years ago. In fact, I gave him the rest of the business. And he started talking and so forth. And he said to me, he said something about economic stuff. And I said, you know what? And the Holy Spirit said to me, don't tell him not to buy any stock. I said, "What? Don't purchase any stock." He said, "You're kidding me." I said, "Yeah, why?" He says, "Man, I'm just getting ready to hang up the phone and go to my stockbroker and purchase some stock and so forth." I said, "Well, man, don't purchase no stock right now." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "What about gold?" I said, "Don't purchase nothing right now. What you want to do right now?" And the Spirit just came upon me. He said, "Get out of debt." That's all I kept telling him. "You just want to work to get out of debt right now. Everything you want to do is get out of debt." And he hung up the phone. The next day, the stock market fell. The next day. I hope he received counsel. I haven't talked to him yet. You know, people can't put their trust in stock right now, can they? I mean, and you know what's now it's done to the corporate stocks. Are now people are not putting their trust in corporate stocks. So you know what they're doing? They're putting their trust in corporate or in federal bonds. Hello? Which is in trillions of debt. Hello? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out that something ain't right. See, false opportunities will have a sense of wealth or a sense of prosperity for a period, and then it like pulls a rug right underneath you. Last days, greed, power, lust will create wicked schemes of false opportunities that will snare people into contracts, especially with false promises. Oh, big returns, carrying no moral ethics. See, people get so blinded that they're willing to take whatever, but they don't see anything of who they're associated with or what's going on. Because they're just willing to take. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. In verse 6. Read it with me. Verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware. I said beware. Beware, 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 beware. Lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In other words, the sway. One of the things the enemy wants to do is sway you from the true opportunity that God has for you. When you snare into the false opportunity, one of the things that happens is there's a delay that comes. And the delay comes because now you're hooked up in this false opportunity. When the right opportunity comes, now you've got to get yourself out of the false opportunity. And there's a delay, isn't there? And because you've fulfilled, or you have to commit a vow now. Now you've made a vow or a contract with a false opportunity that you must fulfill. Does everybody get this? And then what happens is it usually ends up a mess, so you have to recap your losses or investments, jobs, purchases. You know, there are opportunities. Even the devil sent an opportunity of a spouse. Another individual says, this is the man or this is the woman of that you're going to marry. False opportunity. You want to make sure it's God and not the enemy. Because people are getting desperate. People are getting desperate right now in this whole country. They're getting desperate. I mean, if you've seen the news lately, you can see how many layoffs are going on and everything. And even with the auto industry and so forth. People are getting desperate. They have connected and gone under survival mode. Some of them are willing to do whatever it takes to get finances. They're willing to do whatever it takes to fulfill their flesh. And this is where the enemy will step in. The Bible tells us not to be unevenly what? Yoked with unbelievers. Do not be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. The end result will be disastrous. Always is. It looks fine at first. It will go smooth for a little while. But I'm telling you, it will come to a head. Always comes to a head. And I'm not saying that a good opportunity can't go bad. Because it can. Once you move out of the godly ethics, that good opportunity will go bad. I've seen it happen. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Verse 32, Psalm 37, 32, would you read it with me, please? 37, 32, is everybody there? 37, 32, hike. Go long, Mikey. Is everybody there? Come on, loosen up, will ya? Don't get religious on me now, man. Come on, y'all lift your hands to heaven and ask for a drink, will you? Thank you, Lord. Get them, get them, get them, get them. Whew. 32. Come on, read it with me. The wicked watches the righteous. Whew, that was a... Hallelujah. Let's read that one more time. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to what? Slay him. The wicked, the righteous, and seeks to slay him. Come on, say that one more time. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. Hello. Say it again. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. Y'all get that? Go ahead. Let's finish this then. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, oh hallelujah, and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall what? I'm telling you, we're going to see it. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but could not be found. So we see here that the wicked is trying to slay you. Does anybody see it? Come on, let's go to Psalm 10. Psalm 10. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? We're going to give a guideline here, so you're going to get a guideline. Holy Ghost guideline. Psalm 10. Verse 1. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? Doesn't that seem like it sometimes, you know? Lord, where are you? Man, I'm in trouble. Help. The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let him be caught in the plots which they had devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. Did you ever get around someone and said, I'm going to do this. This is my, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. Pow! Flesh creature. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, he blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places, he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws them into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. See, that's what the wicked says. God can't see what I'm doing. The wicked will try to snare you in every way. He'll use anyone to get to you. Does everybody understand? He'll use anyone to bring you a false opportunity. He'll use anyone to tempt you to sin. In Psalm 11, while we're there, verses 1 and 2. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the what? Upright in heart. But see, if you're in position, it will not penetrate. If you're truly in divine order and position, you'll overcome all things. Because in this place, you are in the secret place of the Most High. You are under the shadow of the Almighty, and no evil shall befall you. Now, I'm not saying that the wicked doesn't come by and invite you to come out. And he'll invite you to come out with a temptation. He'll invite you to come out with a false opportunity. He'll invite you to come out of that protection, won't he? He always tells you that it's greener on the other side. Then when you get there, what you thought was green just turned brown. And it's nothing but weeds, torment, despair, anguish, and can't fulfill things that God has asked you to do. Is everybody okay? Matthew 5. Almost done. Matthew chapter 5. Is everybody there? In verse 33. Matthew 5 and verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. In other words, don't justify, don't make excuses or reasoning in the areas where you're getting contacted or making a vow with. You understand that? Because the enemy will try to snare you with something. If it's not a yes or a no, don't reason. In other words, be honest, man. First of all, if you're not self-examining yourself, you can always be snared. If you're not examining your motive, if you're not seeing things all the way through, you'll always be snared. If you're just grabbing to grab because it feels good, you'll be used by the devil more than God. Are you listening? I don't go by feeling. I went to a meeting today I didn't feel like going to. In fact, I felt pretty garbagey today. I went to jail. I wanted to come home and just lay down. And I went to a meeting, and in fact, I almost left because I didn't see anybody showing up at this meeting, and the person that was doing it didn't show up till 15 minutes or 20 minutes later. So I thought, man, what am I doing here? And I called, and there was no answer, and the Lord said to me, wait. Are you willing to wait? I said, all right, whatever you want me to do. So I waited. And he brought me this, you know, the teaching that we just did, trust, rest, and wait, you know. Then the guy shows up and whatever, and we went, and then I went to this meeting. And it was really sweet. Got to meet different individuals and so forth. And the Lord opened a window of opportunity for people to get blessed. And we'll talk about that more later. But we're all going to get blessed out of it. I thought I was only going to be there about an hour. I was there for almost over 2 hours. And I got to share testimony and share with people and whatever. And it was just a small little, there was only about seven guys, something like that. I couldn't even tell. But at first I was thinking, what am I doing here? And, you know, but it wasn't about how I felt. See, because you can't go how you feel and you can't reason. Why am I here? I had to constantly cast that off because I knew the enemy was showing up. I mean, the enemy was all over the place, man. And what he was trying to do is bring me a false opportunity when God was setting up a true opportunity. See, sometimes we think a way of escape is of God when it's actually the enemy trying to get you to way of escape. But see, if you're not in the spirit, you'll be misled. But anyways, it was really, really sweet. Real sweet blessing. Now, I'm going to share a couple things about some guidelines. The first one is this. If there is an opportunity, a false opportunity, or an opportunity from the Lord, there's something that we first want to always do. You always want to search out. There should be no hidden strings attached or a hidden agenda attached. There must be honesty and it must be open all the way through. Nothing hidden. Nothing hidden whatsoever. But see, this is where you must examine yourself. What's my motive in this? What's my motive? The second thing is committed to prayer and, of course, to the Lord. And wait. Be careful. Because false opportunities, there's always hidden strings attached or agendas. They're always withholding something. They're not telling you the whole truth. So you want to commit it to the Lord. And the third thing is one of the things that a false opportunity will have a push. If there is a push to invest money beyond your means, it's not for you. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, $100 or, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about something that's beyond your means. In other words, you have to go borrow money to do what you're supposed to do in an investment, then it's not for you. Do you understand that? The fourth thing is you must search out the benefits. And I mean the benefits with godly ethics. You search out the benefits with godly ethics. The 15 is discern the timing. You must discern the timing of this and the people involved. Everything is associated with God's timing, isn't it? And you know that the enemy's going to come up too, isn't he? Discern the timing and the people involved. And always look at the area of when this opportunity comes, you're willing to let it go. Because if you're not willing to let it go, are you listening? If you're not willing to let it go, then you're going to be snared to it. And you're not going to hear from God. You're going to move on it instead of waiting on God. You must always be willing to let it go until you get confirmation. And the other thing you want to do, the seventh thing, is to confirm your interpretation or your confirmation with counsel. Confirm it. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, in a multitude of counsel, there is safety and wisdom. You know, don't just run out by yourself and do something. Get confirmation and get counsel. And I'm not just talking about spouse counsel. Get counsel. In a multitude of counsel. Are you hearing? In a multitude of counsel. Especially when you're doing something where it's an opportunity, a business opportunity, or something that is life-changing in your life. Get multitude of counsel. There is safety in wisdom. Don't just get it. Just, I mean, if your wife, your husband, or whatever says, you know, I believe this is it. Good. Both of you are going to probably agree that we're going to need to get more counsel. Let's get more confirmation on this. See, what you're doing is confirming. You're getting counsel on the confirmation so to make sure that you're getting the right interpretation. Is everybody okay? God will, let me tell you, God will not allow you to fall in a snare. As long as you're doing things in divine order. If you go by out just how you feel, you'll always become a snare. In Matthew 7, would you go there with me? And we'll close here. And this is the eighth thing. Matthew 7 and verse 15. Is everybody okay? Are you getting it? False opportunities. Now all things are subject to change, aren't they? Because different opportunities according to different... But this is just a simple guideline. But once you get your confirmation, you get counsel on your confirmation and make sure it's God. In a multitude of counsel, there is safety and wisdom. The reason why people won't go get confirmation is because their desire has overtaken them. And it's a false opportunity. Because if you're not willing to wait, neither is God. Bye. He knows you'll be back. In Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false opportunities. Oh, false prophets. Who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their what? Fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, you'll know them by their fruit. So you'll know the opportunity by its fruit. You'll always know the opportunity by its fruit. So you're going to judge it by the fruit. Now listen, if you're consistent in using the guidelines, and if you're consistent in this area, if you're consistent in prayer, praise, worship, and fellowship, if you're consistent in the word and counsel, it will keep the fear of the Lord in your life. And if you keep the fear of the Lord in your life, you're going to do the right thing. Three things will be established by being consistent. You will keep, first of all, the fear of God in your life, and you'll be established in the area of trust, rest, and wait. Does everybody get it? It's important. The enemy is out there offering all kinds of opportunities. All kinds. The bottom line is, judge it by its fruit. Wait for confirmation and get the counsel of your confirmation. Amen? Is everybody okay? These are false opportunities that the enemy is bringing forth right now in all kinds of areas. Be careful who you're yoked with. Be careful what you come in agreement with. It's time right now. But I'm telling you, God is bringing windows of opportunity if you're willing to trust, rest, and wait. If you're willing to use the guidelines, be consistent. Stay in fellowship. Stay in prayer. Stay in worship and praise. Be consistent. And God will reward you. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, we repent for any area where we've put our grubby paws in false opportunities, haven't fulfilled vows. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. And we commit all things to you, Lord. Lord, we ask again for the discernment and clarity that we may discern that which is of you and not of you in these opportunities. And Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that the fear of the Lord would be in our life even greater. That reverence to you would be greater, greater, and greater. Keep us and protect us. Keep us with a heart that we may stay humble before you as we cast our cares upon you and trust in you because you love us. Lord, we ask that your perfect will be done in our lives. And I pray a blessing over each and every one here tonight, Lord, that this seed will grow and bear fruit for your glory in their lives, that discernment, strength, wisdom, and knowledge and understanding would be established, and that the Spirit would give them head notice before it even comes to them. And they'll be able to discern what window of opportunity is of you and what window is not. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Be blessed.